The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. Our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our topic today is community collective grief. And joining me is my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, Chief Operating Officer, Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. And you?
The heat is on.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It's getting hot. Going to stay hot for a while here. So stay hydrated. Would you please introduce our guest in today's topic?
Today, I have with us Sandy Jacobsma. She is a therapist at Family Services and has been with us before. So welcome, Sandy.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, Sandy.
And today we're going to talk about community grief, collective grief, when something happens within a community and really impacts the whole community. There's a sense of loss. It can be an unexpected tragedy. And what does the community do collectively to kind of get through that whole process of that tragedy?
You know, unfortunately, this is something that we've had to deal with more and more in the last few years. It was something that didn't happen 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever before Columbine was the first one I remember. But it does affect the whole community. And Sandy, let me ask you a question. Is grief a normal response?
Yes, it is a normal response to a world event, to a community event.
So what we're going to do today, folks, is try to separate individually how you can cope with a community event and then collectively how communities respond. So with that, let me go back to a couple of examples. Of course, we have the Stony Brook school shooting in Connecticut. It seems to be school shootings that bring a lot of grief on, but we also had the concerts in Las Vegas. So it's kind of like feel no matter where you go. Your safety is affected by it. And when people start to think about those things individually, subconsciously, they're taking action. So what do you think about, Sandy? Let me ask you about the recent examples we have and how communities have responded to that.
Communities have responded by coming together. They're talking about it. They're meeting together. They're bringing in spiritual leaders. In Texas, with the school shooting, the recent school shooting, you see law enforcement, people talking to law enforcement and just trying to work through what happened. What happened to our community? What happened at the school?
Yeah, I think what Sandy is talking about is, you know, there's that initial shock that, you know, you all hear about this and then you have to start processing it, getting, you know, your questions answered for yourself, what happened, and then also, what am I going to do so hopefully this never happens to me personally. So it kind of hits both levels, individually, how it's impacting you, and then what's your response as a community and how you're going to deal with it.
Well, it sounds like you need to kind of allow yourself to experience your emotions. So with someone, and we all do it differently to different degrees. Some people are really affected by it and some to a lesser degree. But, you know, is it okay to show your emotions of grief?
Yes, it is very okay to show your emotions of grief. And just like you said, people do it differently. Some people are much more introverted, you know, and they'll have a small group of people that they're sharing with. Other people are able to share it more openly and talk about things and come together with others, but there's no exact way to grieve in an instance like this.
Well, I know the worst thing you can say to somebody, unless they're a real good friend, and this was a real good friend, you just say, get over it, and that's not the answer.
Right.
Some people just take a little longer, and sometimes these feelings of grief don't leave. They hang on, and they kind of put you into a different mindset and a different lifestyle without you even realizing it. And that's grief. I always think about the elderly people, and I have a lot of friends, and of course my mother, and what they experience now in losing their friends. And if they lose a friend, I know Brenda, your mom, we've talked about that. Our parents at that age, it's a factor. They may lose this friend, but it's a bigger picture. They start thinking about everything, their other friends, and their mortality. So this grief thing is okay. Put it on the table. Like you said, talk to somebody, connect. I think that's very important. It's a one-on-one kind of deal. Everybody's going to be different, so one size does not fit all.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Art, is very accurate. It's one size doesn't fit all, and it's really finding a way for you to deal with it. What works best for you and allowing yourself to express those emotions, deal with those emotions. It could just be sitting quietly and thinking about that. But the important part is connecting and allowing yourself to go through that process.
I'm Art Silver along with Brenda Geisinger and our guest clinical therapist Sandy Jacobsmore. And we're discussing collective and community grief. So let's get down to a couple of examples on what can individuals do to cope with grief. Sandy?
I think the most important thing is just recognizing your feelings. Some people initially may just go numb and they may not know what they're feeling and they don't want to have to think about it. But you don't want to stay numb too long. You know, when you're ready, you're going to start processing it. And it's important to start processing it. As we've said, there's no timeline. Some people may process it much quicker than others, but then you are going to have anniversary dates. When it's a year, when it's Christmas, when it's Thanksgiving, the times that you would have had your children with you, or like the Twin Towers, when there were so many people that were gone at a time. So you are going to have those anniversary dates.
We were so united as a country right after 9/11.
Yes.
And that's a great example to show how we come together when we have to. And we've kind of lost that a little bit. We're kind of polarized right now. And I think that affects how people think and how they act and what they do. And it always brings that fear into play. Fear governs so much of what people do. And I think the safety aspect, going back out, malls. We've had problems in malls. This is all new to us, so we don't have a script or a template to go off of. But I think it's important you talked about recognizing your emotions and where you are with it. Find people that have like experiences, you know? Mm-hmm. I know when we put together grief classes, everybody in that class has something to do with grief. And we're trying to bring it out in the open and let them know that you are not alone. Other people go through the same thing. So I think connecting with people that share that same experience is real important. Thoughts on that?
I think that's true. It really is how other people, you come together, you can share those experiences. And one thing that is really important is that you try to get back to the activities you did before the event happened. And that may take time, but not to lock yourself away in a dark basement is not healthy for you. You need to make sure you're eating, that you're sleeping. You know, and if grief goes on too long, that's a time when you may need to seek counseling or other things, because you just can't get stuck in grief.
You know, I wonder how the people up in Buffalo at that Tops Market or any market the next time they went shopping. You know, you didn't expect that to happen when you hear the stories about the victims. So it puts that in the back of your mind, and that kind of changes the way you look at life. We have to consider things we never had to consider before. So I think it can happen here. It can happen anywhere. I think we're blessed to be in the Midwest. But again, it can happen anywhere. So we have to be prepared and learn. We need each other, and we're going to deal with this. So, Sandy, if we take a look at situations where we have community violence, we talk about the lack of safety, that feeling, that sense of safety. And it'd be interesting to get a police department opinion on that, too. We've had some shootings in town, et cetera. And I'm sure it's all on, I'm sure it's on the control, and the police are doing what they have to do. But you think about it. You start to think about your personal safety. It's just human nature. So we'll kind of come back in the second half of the show and talk more about what we can do individually and collectively as a community to deal with community grief. And probably the most important, we want to talk about, how do you talk to your children? We all understand things at different levels of interpretation. So how do you talk to your kids? It's not like they don't see the news. It's not like it's not a topic in school. So how do we approach this? It's all new to us. So we're coming up on our break, so enjoy the dawn of another beautiful day. We'll be right back with more When Things Aren't Going Well right here at 1360 AM, 90.9 FM. KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. Let's continue our discussion on collective and community grief with Brenda Geisinger and our guest from Family Services, clinical therapist Sandy Jaquez. Okay, let's discuss coping with grief following a community violence. How do communities respond emotionally?
I think one of the key things is kind of identifying which groups are impacted the most. You know, every situation is different. You could have a kid in high school who died in a car accident, and so the whole school is impacted. So that's a particular group that might need a crisis team to go in and talk to teenagers or the kids and help them understand and cope with what went on, in addition to the impact on the immediate family and friends of that particular child. So you really, as a community, have to identify who are the small groups impacted and who are the large groups impacted, and what resources are available immediately to offer support and help them through the situation. You know, for another example is if a whole town is hit by a tornado, what are the groups that are immediately impacted and how do we deal with that? You know, do you get the Red Cross in there and deal with the whole community? But you may have a particular family that experienced more loss than someone else.
Very interesting, Brenda. I think it's so inclusive that when we take a look at all of this, you have to separate grief from anger. And I think sometimes anger creeps into the grief and how you react. I was thinking of looking at the Floyd situation up in Minneapolis and how the violence and from the grief from what happened really tore a community apart and a nation. This is a national thing. So we all responded. And I wouldn't say that was so much grief as it was the anger that came out of that. And look what that turned into. So, you consider going to the mall. You consider going to the movies. Shouldn't. Because that's when they win. When you pull back and you start withdrawing from activities, like you said, the bad side wins. Whether it be the grief inside of you taking over or people that actively out there creating harm. They win because we're doing what they want us to do. And that's not be ourselves and live our lives. So I think we deal with grief. I want to talk about children. How do we talk to our children about issues of community violence? Boy, kids going back to school. I wonder what that's like going back the first week after or the month after. In some cases, they tore the school down.
I think it's really important with children to allow them to talk about it. Pose questions. Do you have questions? Are there things you want to talk about? And really have an open conversation. You may want to limit the exposure of the media during that time so they don't feel so overwhelmed, because everybody's talking about it and then they hear it on the news and it just becomes a little too much for them. The other piece is still engaging in activities. Again, like you mentioned, don't shut them down and let them just sit and dwell on it. Keep the routine going, the schedule going, and finding some things filled with joy so they can get back on track.
So it's okay to let them know that what they're feeling is okay.
It is.
Sandy?
It's really important to let kids know, but I think it's also really important that we do it at a child's pace. Children grieve differently than adults, And it's important to realize that we can't push a lot of things on children when they're ready, when they ask questions, but we don't have to provide more information than they're ready to deal with.
So I guess we need to be calm ourselves before we start talking with our kids. We don't want to bring all of our concern into the conversation because we really want to hear from the children. So that's interesting. How about if we took a look at how honest can you be? Sometimes in telling the story of what happens, we kind of like embellish it a little bit to soften the blow. But how honest do you have to be with your kids? Because they're looking at something.
I think kids know when you're not being honest, when you're hedging the truth or not giving everything. But you don't have to get into the gory details. But they do know something's up. You know, the jig is up. Let's have an honest conversation. And part of that conversation is the reassurance that they are safe and you as a parent are going to do everything you can to keep them safe. And you may want to discuss, you know, if somebody came into your school that was harmful, what would you do? So they're aware and they can think of that maybe during a crisis. What am I supposed to be doing here? What does mom want me to do or dad? And having them feel prepared or at least remember that they had that conversation with you.
You know, I was a teacher and I remember I left teaching. My wife was the educator in the family. But I left teaching because I had to do cafeteria duty and check the bathroom for kids smoking. I never took a course for that in college. So I didn't want to do it. I wanted to teach and coach. So I look at teachers today and what they have to go through and the training that was non-existent before. But this is now how our society has changed and what we have to do for security of our kids in the school. So kids cope with things in different ways, don't they, Sandy?
They do. You'll see younger kids may act things out in their play or what they're talking about with you. It may not be directly related to what just happened, but it may be other questions about safety. Other examples, they may be more clingy and just wanting to be closer to their parents. So you just have to go with the lead. Teenagers are probably going to have more questions by far, but they're also going to be getting information from sources that may not be the best. Like Brenda said, you have to limit what they're seeing on different social medias, or at least talk about, because there's going to be so much, just so much misinformation also on social media, and it's important just to let kids know what's actually happening.
Grief can be a form of trauma, and Brenda, our children have all experienced trauma. How do we deal with our children? How do we help our children?
It's really going through that grieving process with them and allowing them to express anger or guilt, sense of denial, questions, working through that and helping them understand their feelings and how to express those feelings appropriately.
Tell you, when you're around the children, it's a whole new world. They interpret things differently that you wouldn't even think about. But they're honest. They're honest interpretations. If you listen more to what the kids are telling you, you really zoom in that they really see it this way, and you got to start here to fix the picture before you move on. They're fascinating, and the kids are very resilient. They come back. They want to do well. But, you know, traumatized, being in the middle of a real traumatic experience. Just seeing people on the street. I just heard in the news the other day where a woman was just, somebody walked up and shot her.
Yeah.
And she was just walking her baby. What the heck is going on? I don't know, but I think it's something that we have to be better prepared to handle because I don't see anything. It's just waiting for the next terrible event to happen. There's just so much discord, and hopefully not the Capitol building, you know. So this has just been this is going on. So dealing with grief is real important. I want to thank you for coming in today and sharing your expertise on this. We have children, and you know, our children, they do it differently. They see things differently, but very honestly. So we're coming up on the end of our show this week, and every week we try to end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. But this is not, if you hear these ladies laughing in the background, this is not studio laughter. This is not canned laughter. They either liked the joke or they didn't. And if they didn't like the joke, they're going to throw a tomato at them. But here we go. Here's our joke for the week. Doctors have identified a food that can cause grief and suffering for years after it's been eaten. It's called wedding cake.
Oh!
Okay. Thanks, Brenda and Sandy, and thanks also to our listening audience. Shout out Dave Bernstein and the entire Saturday in the Park crew, and also all the Siouxland meteorologists for the great weather we had. We are always looking to add to our family, so if you are looking for a career change or to start a new career, please call our HR manager at 293-4700 or email us at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. All small letters, no spaces, boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. We have immediate openings and for full and part-time positions, so come on in and earn some extra cash. When things aren't going, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ. Your homework this week is to go out and have a good laugh, and may the sun shine on you. Peace.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org, or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.